Okay, he is here. Let him finish one little thing here, and we will get started. And put your seatbelts on. This is going to be a very interesting and tumultuous hour. There. And that goes there. Okay, very good. Now, a very important, maybe Trump's most important act. Think about it. Think about it. May 31st, 2017. What did Donald Trump do? He posted a tweet. I guess it was late in the evening one night. And it had to do with a very unusual word. And the word was covfefe, covfefe. And he posted that. And I'm going to read just a little bit of a story that was posted by USA Today, published one year later, May 31st, 2018. And the title is COVE-FIFI, One Year Later, How a Late Night Trump Tweet Turned Into a Phenomenon. And boy, did it. Happy one-year anniversary, COVE-FIFI, writes USA Today. President Trump unexpectedly unleashed a new word on the world May 31st, 2017, when he tweeted out a confusing partial sentence shortly after midnight. Despite the negative press covfefe tweet and nothing more, here's what it said. This is verbatim. I'll give it to you. Quote, despite the negative press covfefe, end quote. That's all it was. That was it. I want to be real clear on that. That's all he wrote. Despite the negative press covfefe, COVFEFE, nothing more. Trump soon deleted that tweet, but instead of pretending it never happened, he leaned into it. And he said in a challenge, who can figure out the true meaning of covfefe? Triple question mark. Enjoy! Exclamation point, close quote. He said that nearly 6 hours after the original partial sentence, the sentence fragment, with the word covfefe in it. COVFEFE. And so people did. They wondered what it meant. They wondered how it was pronounced. They wondered why it existed in the first place. Good questions, good thinking. Not helping the matter was then Press Secretary Sean Spicer's insistence that covfefe made sense. He said people shouldn't be concerned about the tweet and the fact that it was up for hours. He said, I think the president and a small group of people know exactly what he meant. That's Sean Spicer. But did the president know what he had wrought on U.S. culture? The memes, the songs, the jokes. Merriam-Webster weighed in that day, saying that it regretted checking Twitter and even discovering such a quote. But here's the challenge again. I'll read it from Donald Trump. Who can figure out the true meaning of covfefe? Enjoy. And then that was it. So, why is this important? As I said, it may be the most important thing Trump ever tweeted, because COVE clearly stands for COVID, and FIFI means iron. Look on the periodic table and you'll see FE for iron, okay? This sounds very much like a code word or expression for a massive operation, COVE-FIFI. Operation covfefe. Okay, well, people began to immediately deny it in the White House, lots and lots of people, and they said, oh, he didn't say that at all. He said Laurel, or he said Yanny, and there were other people saying that he said other things. Here's Princess Ivanka trying to refute the covfefe post.
So clearly Laurel.
So clearly Laurel, she says, looking at her smartphone screen. And here are a couple more just for fun.
It's Laurel.
Definitely Laurel.
It's Laurel. But I could deflect and divert to Yanny if you need me to.
It's clearly Yanny.
Yanny. Definitely Yanny.
Yanny's a winner. Laurel's a loser.
Sarah, it's been reported that you hear Laurel. How do you respond?
Clearly you're getting your information from CNN because that's fake news. All I hear is Yanny.
Oh, man, that's Laurel.
Laurel. It's Laurel, America. Definitely hashtag Laurel.
Yanny. Who's Yanny?
Now, here's Trump. Here's what he says.
Hear Covfefe.
He says, I hear Covfefe. Well, he stood pretty near to what he printed. He left the V out, Covfefe, but it's Covfefe. And this caused a big deal. Many of you don't remember. Some do, but it's, I think, again, an enormously important thing to go back and look at in light of what has happened to all of us and what is happening to all of us right now. The idea that iron plays a role in the COVID pandemic is not known by many people. We're going to help you become more familiar with that tonight. We did on Wednesday as well. We're going to spend more time on it tonight because it is so incredibly important. Iron in the body is massively important. But before I go any further, let me say hello to my partner, Erica Kahn, who is here, who was the first one to really dig this up and put it together. And we're going to go right back into it. Welcome.
Hi there, Jeff. Happy Friday.
Hey there, Erica. How you been?
I'm good.
Okay. Most important tweet of Trump's presidency? Possibly so. He challenged people to figure it out. Nobody did until we got to the point where you were on this in the beginning. Tell us a little bit more about Covfefe, and then we'll go into what iron does and does not do in the body. It's crucial.
Well, it's interesting. I wasn't paying much attention to the news back in 2017. And then, I don't know, sometime last year, I came across that in my digging. And I thought, wow, that's really odd. I wonder what that meant. And I looked back to see what people had said about it at the time. And of course, in 2017, nobody had any idea what was being planned for us. But then, you know, the Fefe got my attention because that's Fe is abbreviation or acronym for iron. And then Fefe would be Fe2+, which is a oxidative state of iron, as opposed to Fe3+. And I thought, well, I wonder if that has something to do with this. And so that got me on the trail of looking at the iron. And early on in the scamdemic, plandemic, it became clear that the people that were having the very serious outcomes and dying from this disease, their blood was a mess. And it became clear that this was much less a respiratory illness as it was a disorder of the blood.
Well, you named it clearly as an attack on the blood and circulatory system of the human body, a massive attack.
Yeah.
That was early
and,
on.
And
that's
actually,
what you say.
Quite a bit has been written about that, researched and written about it. You know, a lot of the emphasis had been on the ACE2 receptor, which is present in abundance in the lungs, but also the endothelium, the lining of the blood vessels. But very little was talked about insofar as the red blood cells were concerned,
right?
Which I thought, that's just so odd. And then, you know, you look at the hydroxychloroquine and why would that have been successful? You know, there just seemed to be a lot of tie-ins with the cell, the health of the red blood cells. So as it turns out, it's my contention that iron is the real villain with these kill shots because the spike protein has deleterious effects on the functioning of the red blood cells. It can destroy the red blood cells, releasing the heme and the iron from the heme And both of those components on their own are extremely toxic.
Okay, hold on. Both of those components on their own are extremely toxic. So here comes the spike. It wrecks the red blood cell, which is holding on to that piece of iron so it can grab on in concert a molecule of oxygen and carry that oxygen around to the body's cells. If that red blood cell is split in half, let's keep it real simple. Heme goes one way, hemoglobin, and the iron goes the other way. You've got two toxic issues which are being freed by the trillions in your bloodstream already. No more oxygen is being carried successfully, and the blood turns black, which is what it is now. Now we know.
Now, compounding that issue is that the pathway to regenerate the heme can be affected by the spike protein, as can the precursors to red blood cells. The spike protein can bind to those various components, so now you cannot resynthesize the heme in order to incorporate the iron to continue to carry oxygen. So it's kind of a downward spiral once you get this into you, and I'm not surprised we're seeing the effects we are with just the spike protein and people that are acquiring the spike protein from shedding. And it only takes, as I understand it, some fairly prominent researchers have weighed in on this. It only takes a minuscule amount of spike protein to start this process. It is so potent. So the cascade begins.
The human body collects, let me ask this real quick. The human body collects iron throughout its existence, right? It eats red meat. That's one of the main sources of iron. They used to put a lot of it into cereals. Oh, extra iron, fortified with iron. So by the time we're adults, we actually have an overabundance, if not an overload, of iron. Fortunately, it's all tied up, most of it, with heme, as red cells carrying oxygen. Go ahead.
That's true. And then the other storage place is the liver. And they say that by the time a male is 20, I mean, women kind of get a break on this because they lose a little bit of iron every month with menstruation. But men, by the time they're 20, they're well on their way to becoming overloaded with iron, and iron is a driver of aging, among other things. It's implicated in neurodegenerative diseases, Alzheimer's, ALS, Huntington's, Parkinson's, and prion disease. It's implicated in cardiovascular disease.
Mad cow, folks, mad cow. Remember that iron, unbound iron, can trigger those diseases she just listed. In the human brain.
Yes, it is. I mean, that is a hallmark of Alzheimer's, is dysregulated iron. And that, by that I mean, you have iron, it's just not managed. And because it's reactive, it can go on to damage cell membranes, the lipids in the cell membranes, and your DNA, your RNA, and your proteins. So when it's not managed properly, meaning when it's not bound on a protein, it can react and cause this, it's a type of rusting, oxidative stress. And so in addition to neurodegenerative diseases and cardiovascular disease, I mean, it does accumulate in the heart. It's also involved in cancer. Cancer cells thrive on iron.
Oh, this is important. Don't run off yet. Hold on.
Yep.
We have an incredible explosion of cancers, as we know, among the vaxxed, and even some of the unvaxxed, because we think shedding is causing the basic fundamentals to be set up in the body, and then that leads to cancer. So not only does it energize older, more latent cancer types, but it apparently triggers brand new super cancers, turbo cancers, whatever you want. And the cancer cells thrive on unbound iron. That's phenomenal. If the iron, I'll repeat, if the iron is bound to the heme and is forming a fine and proper red blood cell used to carry oxygen around the system, no problem. But if the spike breaks that heme away from the iron and the iron is unbound, it runs loose. Cancer has a field day.
That's right. And the other thing that unbound iron will do is very quickly start to feed bacteria. And so it is a component or a driver of sepsis. And not to mention any other sort of dormant bacteria that you may be harboring, including viruses, fungi. Some fungi do thrive on iron. We saw that in India with the outbreak of that mucormycosis, which is a black fungus.
Very creepy stuff.
So when iron is not managed properly, the whole raft of issues follows. And I remember last year there was somebody working in a blood donation center who reported that there were people coming in who were vax damaged. Their blood was very, very thick. I don't know if it was actually black, as Nurse Ann has described, but it was very thick. And one
Sludge.
Of the persons actually had a prescription from their doctor to go in there and donate blood. I don't know if it was every 2 weeks or every month, to try to get the iron levels down because they're so toxic.
We've projected that the average person who takes a shot will generate at a reasonable 30 trillion spike proteins in their body over a period of time. We don't know how long that time is, but let's say it's a year or two, year and a half, I don't know. A tremendous number of spike proteins, which among many things, remember the spike is violently vicious and anti-life, will go after red blood cells and bust them up and turn that iron loose and the heme loose, and you got no blood cells. And the heme by itself can't carry oxygen. So the blood gets dark, the blood clots, but that's amyloid and amyloidosis at work in many cases, misfolded proteins creating fibrils. The spike protein in and of itself has so many ways of killing, it's not funny. This thing is diabolical and demonic in its diversity. And this is just one area we're talking about right now.
So it gets worse, though, because at the same time your cells are becoming deprived of oxygen because there's not enough red blood cells to feed them, the spike protein is also, because it's a hepcidin mimetic, meaning it acts the same as your body's own hepcidin, which is the master regulator. It's a hormone, master hormone of regulation of iron. It's giving the signal for the cells to retain whatever iron they have. So it's sequestering iron. So now you've got a drop in your own red blood cells. They're being destroyed, and you can't regenerate them because your iron has been sequestered. In addition to the spike interfering with the porphyrins, which are the components to build heme, So you're both iron toxic and iron deficient at the same time.
And again, the iron feeds bacteria in your body,
yep,
among other things. So this is not something you want to have a lot of, but people do. And they just don't have a chance if you get hit with one of these injections or four or five injections of the Department of Defense's own bioweapons. That's what they are. It's not a Pfizer vax. It's not a Moderna vax. It's a DOD biological weapon system. Department of Defense. Pfizer's own documentation made that abundantly clear. I think it was 2 weeks ago now. And we are on this. DOD owns this bioweapon. They gave the particulars to Pfizer and Moderna and had them create it, paid them, and administer them, I assume. And so here we are. Oh, and by the way, today, Pfizer announced that it's raising the rates for its COVID vaccine 400%.
That's incredible.
As if that $79 million in the third quarter wasn't enough for them. The greed in this whole operation is beyond belief. It's just incredible. Now, that said, we have been among the first to promote the idea that shedding is probably the way that they intended from the beginning to pick up that 20% who they didn't expect to be able to inject with the Department of Defense biological weapon, otherwise known as the Pfizer and Moderna COVID vaccine. It's a DOD weapon. Don't ever forget that. So what we have now is an issue of people literally taking a military weapon and being told it's a vaccine for their health. Do you see how diabolical this is? So we felt that the 80% who, it's just a round number, 80% shot up with the vax, the DOD vax, the DOD bioweapon, 20% not shot up with the DOD bioweapon. How do you collect that 20%? You do it through shedding. We have demonstrated on this program countless times by reading real-life stories from people who have been shed upon. We've had them on the program as guests, that shedding is 100% real. All right? Now, the spike protein is being shed. We suspect that the mRNA is also being shed. And if the mRNA is somehow equipped with replicons, that means the mRNA can reproduce itself. And if you get shed upon with spike, you know what that'll do to you. Gets into your blood right away and your neurology and does damage to both, horrific damage. But if you get shed upon and you get shed upon with mRNA, that goes into your body's cells and orders your cells to begin to do what? To create more spike proteins. So if you're getting shed upon with both, and you probably are, and probably more than that, you are in real trouble. Now, the spike protein, among other things, knocks that iron off the heme. We've talked about that. It causes proteins. It's got 7 sites on it. What are these sites called again on the spike? There's 7
sites.
Well,
they're amyloidogenic sequences, which means they can cause the misfolding of your own proteins.
Okay, and do cause the misfolding of your own proteins.
They do.
So the spike runs around causing, here's a nice little protein meandering along the bloodstream, and it runs into a spike. Well, all of a sudden, it's distorted. It's misfolded. And it goes on its way, unable to do its job. But what's even worse is that that misfolded protein finds another nice normal protein and causes it to misfold as well. We don't need the spike protein to cause every protein misfolding event in the body. And once these proteins are misfolded, they're useless, except they tend to aggregate. And when they aggregate, they end up with these little strings called, we call them fibrils. And as the fibrils get bigger and more of them come along and aggregate with the few that were there, they get bigger and bigger, and these become amyloid non-blood clots. So your clotting is not always blood. That's why blood thinners, heparin, etc., don't work. They're not blood clots. Now, what the spike protein also does, which is, again, remember, it's quite sheddable, it is found in the major organs in the bodies. And Arnie Burkhardt, the brilliant pathologist in Europe, has new information on that.
Yeah, more recently, he was the one early this year, was it this year or last year, had the opportunity to autopsy several, I think it was 70 bodies as of last spring.
70 plus, yeah.
70 plus, as of, I think it was March of earlier this year, and was able to determine, he found a spike in several of the organs in the vaxxed, so they had been obviously successfully transfected, and we're producing spike protein. There were no other components of the virus found, so we know that the spike protein that was there was due to the vaccine and not from a viral infection. So, wherever the mRNA went, carried by the lipid nanoparticles or the adenoviral vector, I think these were all mRNA, pretty sure they were mRNA vaccines.
Pfizer.
Organs were producing a spike protein. And more recently, the autopsies he had performed indicate that they were actually getting into the brain and transfecting the cells.
Wow. See, right when we get into the meat of it, there she goes. They want us to know they're listening. All right, we know you're listening. All right, we'll reconnect with Erica momentarily. Arnie Burkhardt is a hero, one of a handful of real heroes, pointing out quite clearly in his research of